This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, and obviously a very sad day still across America for the tragedy that struck yesterday in Connecticut. And guys, there's words, really. Everyone knows what happened. Everyone's devastated with what happened, and it's one of those things that I really have nothing to say.
If you look at the other side of it, Tim, and people say, what can we do? Well, what really can you do? I don't know how you could ever, even with gun control or whatever, I don't know how you will ever eradicate this type of thing.
You can't get rid of crazy people.
No. And I don't know what the answer to it is. It's as you said, tragic. And
all we can do is pray for the families that lost loved ones and pray for those who were fortunate enough to get their loved ones back, but knowing that they're never going to be the same. And to me, just the horrific nature of 5 to 10-year-olds. I mean, it's unfathomable that someone would want to do something like that to innocent kids.
And as much attention has been put on health, whether you agree with the health care law or not, and wellness, there needs to be much more attention to mental health.
Yes.
It is just as important, if not more important, because it controls every aspect of a person's life. And this is where research needs to be done. I mean, on the research for the other stuff, yes. But the mental health aspect of things has to be looked into, has to be investigated. And we'll probably never know everything about the human mind, but we could certainly learn a lot more about it and maybe come up with a screening procedure to help people who may seem all right, and then all of a sudden something happens. I don't have an answer. I'm not that smart, I'll be honest with you. But mental health is probably more important than any other sort of health, it needs to be addressed.
There was a story on the AP before the show began, and the governor issued his statement. He's insisting that lawmakers pass legislation to protect the children, and so something like what happened in Connecticut won't happen there. I'm wondering where he's going to. Are we going to have metal detectors
Number one, if somebody's going to do something and they're in a mindset, there's probably ways to do illegal and improper things. You hate to admit it.
That's the unfortunate reality.
That's the unfortunate reality of living in a free society. We do not live in a totalitarian society where we have thugs running around and keeping everybody in line. We just don't. And that's the price we pay for freedom. It's a terrible, terrible price to pay. It's a terrible, terrible price to pay for our young men and women to go overseas and have to fight for our freedom. But they're willing to do it, and that's why we live in the society we live in. It's a high price. There's always a very high price for freedom.
Yes, and there always will be.
There always will be.
And I think one of the important things with violence of this type is interfamily. Interfamily has to, I think, maybe become more aware, like this guy's family. This guy had a problem. His brother said he'd known he had a problem for 2 years. Well, that's a long time not to maybe do something more about it.
And it's amazing, no matter how these tragedies unfold or where they happen, everyone in the communities always says the same thing. I didn't think it could happen here.
Yeah, sure.
In this place. And it just, I think I've heard that Newtown, Connecticut was voted one of the safest places to live in America not that long ago. So, I mean, for us, we live in rural communities, we often find ourselves thinking, this can't happen here, Terry. We are at high schools pretty much every night throughout the winter. You just see kids come in. You see parents come in. You just take for granted that we're just there to watch a basketball game.
To have a good time.
A good time. And to think that something like this could, in fact, happen anywhere, it's just a reminder that life is precious, I guess.
It is very, very precious. And the good news is, it doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very often because we have a society that, when you go to a ball game, most people go to the ball game to enjoy the ball game.
But yet if it happens one time, it's one time too many.
It's one time too many, but we're never, as human beings, there's always going to be a flaw in the human element somewhere along the way.
To me, it's times like this where sports really is at its best because it gives a chance for people to maybe get away from reality of a situation and get lost. If it's only for an hour or 2 hours, just get lost in something simpler that doesn't really matter, but yet maybe it makes you feel a little bit better.
And look at the national tragedy that 9/11 brought on. You know, when David Letterman went back on the air, and he admitted it was a terrible thing to have to go back on the air a week later, the Yankees started playing baseball again. It was tough. It was tough to do that, but that's what America needed. And, you know, we will get by this. We will continue to, you know, offer our condolences to the families. And now the job is to work to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, and the flip side of this, Tim, as you mentioned before we went on the air, was the tragedy they had in China, and that gentleman didn't even have a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, a gentleman in China stabbed 22 school children in China yesterday, same day. So just kind of, it's eerie, and it's a sick world that we live in. That's just the unfortunate aspect of being a human being, I guess. We're just a violent people.
That's human nature.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So there's really no good transition from the harsh reality of that to any sort of thing else. So I think what we'll do is we'll just take a quick break.
One final comment. I just heard a story, I think, just here in the last week about the human genome. And scientists have discovered that if you have 400 faults in your genetic code, you're considered normal.
There you go.
Out of billions. So,
well, I can,
you know, you put that in perspective. And
I can safely say I must be normal.
Well, first time that's ever been uttered, safe to say. We're going to take a break here on Sports Saturday. And when we come back, we'll start talking high school sports following these messages.
This is Jake Fleming with Security National Bank, and I have some great news for you. Security National Bank is now offering free mobile banking on your cell phone. Now you can check your account anywhere you can use your phone. It's secure, free, and gives you the peace of mind and knowing your finances wherever you go. To download our new cell phone app, just go to the App Store and search for Security National Bank. Here at Security National Bank, we take pride in being big enough to serve you and small enough to know you. FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's Restaurant in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires, complete exhaust service, and heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's Crew Cab Rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. So, when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield.
And at 9:12, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Becoming partly cloudy for today. It will be windy. Expect highs in the upper 50s. Partly cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. We'll have a low of around 40 degrees. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies once again. Expect a high of around 55 degrees. At 9:13, we have a temperature reading of 47 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:14, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Big high school basketball game on the radio tonight. The Route 16 rivalry is renewed. Hillsboro and Litchfield, or I guess I should say Litchfield and Hillsboro, as
The gals will square off tonight.
Yes, at Hillsboro.
And it's always fun because this is a game that's always halfway through December, and then at the end of January, they play on a Saturday night in Hillsboro. So it's a really neat setup. They don't alternate the sites. This game's always in Litchfield in mid-December, always in Hillsboro at the end of January. Two dates I kind of look forward to, and it's always a great time when these two teams get together. I don't care what the records are.
And with that type of space in between the games, you really see how much you've improved from the last time you met.
Yeah. It's and you know we're approaching benchmark number one here with the Christmas tournaments, and we're starting to see things shape up in the conference now. And tonight's ball game ought to be interesting with Litchfield and Hillsboro. Both teams, I believe, are coming off of losses and looking to get back on the winning track.
And I would think psychologically for Litchfield, a win would be very important. They've had, you know, they've kind of hit a rough little patch or a lot of new working parts into the mix this year. So a win against their rivals at this point of the season could go a long way.
And you look who they played. They played Carlisle. They played, you know, Pena. They played Rochester. You know, they've played some really top quality teams. But still, you know, it's a loss, and you don't want to have that. You want to get back on the winning track.
But, Terry, how many times have we sat here and talked about Litchfield? They got to toughen up the schedule.
Yeah.
Got to toughen it up. Yeah. They've done it this year, and they've got a few more losses, but they're better for it.
You know.
They will be better.
Yeah. You know, 12 weeks from now, let's see how it pays off. Absolutely.
Those losses in regular season pay huge dividends come regional time.
Absolutely. Those are the kind of teams you're going to see if you want to progress deep into the postseason. Those are the types of teams you're going to see once you get to the sectional tournament. And those are the type of teams you want to play against and are comfortable against. Well, maybe comfortable is not a good word, but at least accustomed to seeing that type of play.
Comfortable facing a higher level opponent.
Right. Being comfortable in that situation against a higher level opponent because the game's a little bit faster. The game's a little more physical. And let's face it, as you go deeper into the postseason, play gets a little bit rougher in postseason play. You know, they let these kids play. They don't want to let it, you know, they really don't want anybody to foul out of a ball game. People travel miles to spend their money to watch these kids play, and they want the kids to play.
And we get into the time of the year when, you know, injuries to a key person on your team can be very critical if it's a long sustaining injury where they can't come back.
Yeah, absolutely. In a few scores from last night, games we had on the radio, Tim, you had a great game at Staunton last night with Pena and Staunton, two top-notch teams in the conference. Pena comes away with a one-point win, 45-44. At Litchfield last night, Purple Panthers came out storming in the first quarter, and then the second quarter was just the opposite, and the Panthers couldn't recover. Vandalia wins at 48-34. Hillsboro went to Morrisonville, picked up the win last night. Toppers beat the Mohawks 54-48. Lincoln would beat Franklin 75-49. Nokomis defeated Mount Olive 61-23. Greenville Comets got by Gillespie 59-50. It was Jerseyville beating Southwestern 56-39. Bunker Hill lost to Metro East Lutheran 60-52, and North Mac defeated New Berlin 52-43. So those are boys' scores from last night.
And we mentioned coming up tonight, Litchfield and Hillsboro live at 7:30 here on FM 106. And joining us on the phone now, the head coach of Litchfield, Rob Corso. And Coach, your first taste as the head man of Litchfield and Hillsboro. Looking forward to it?
Oh, man, we've had this thing circled on the calendar since the summer. So we're ready to go.
Rob, we were just talking moments ago about how your non-conference schedule this year seems to be beefed up a little bit, and that should be something that really pays off for you guys down the road.
I hope so. You know, the Carlisles and the Rochesters, you know, quality programs. Kind of got a taste of it down at Carlisle Tuesday night, but hopefully we can bounce back.
Tell us a little bit about that game, Rob. What, you know, coming out, were you cold from the start, or what was the deal?
I don't know. I thought that we had a good game plan going in. They came out and they were hitting everything. And we had Tessa on the Rockers girl. She picked up two quick fouls, and that kind of threw a wrench in the ointment there. It's just one of those nights, you know, it's kind of flattened off. But usually we played a lot better defense than that. Giving up 82 points is kind of shake your head sometimes.
Yeah, and Tessa's a good defender, and if you're in foul trouble with her, that really puts a crink in the chink in the armor there. So, yeah.
You betcha.
Rob, I'm just curious, what was the mentality and mindset of your kids after that ball game? Because obviously, whether it's been at the high school level or the junior high level, they have not been involved on that end of that type of game. What was their mentality?
You know, I don't know. I think part is they're a little bit fatigued, actually. We've had a lot of games, a lot of nights, and you know, we had to get back on the bus and go play at Pisaw on Thursday night. And we haven't had much practice time, it seems like. And we played some odd nights. We've had some Monday night games, and we had some Tuesday night games because of the schedule. And it's hard to get some practice time in. And we've had a little bit of influenza in the school as well, so it's a combination of things. But, you know, I don't think they're down on themselves too much. They know in their hearts they played really well. Coulda, shoulda, woulda against Payne and Rochester, and then and Pisaw as well, you know. But I think now they need to kind of realize that what it takes. You know, it's, you know, the junior high days were nice, but it's a different level, it's a different ball game, and I think they're getting their eyes opened a little bit.
Yeah, players love it when there's no practice time, though, Rob.
What's that?
Players love to play games. They don't like to practice.
Oh,
let's play games.
Coach, I had the opportunity to watch your opponent on Tuesday night, Carlisle. I had the opportunity to watch him Thursday night at Hillsborough, and Hillsborough came out and was playing very well. In fact, Hillsborough at one time in right at, in the third quarter, I think it was, had a 15-point lead on him.
Yeah.
Played very well, and then in the last about 4 minutes of the game, Hillsborough just self-destructed and let the game get away. But Carlisle's a quality opponent any time they step on the floor, and they've got some good balance in their team and should do well as the season progresses.
Yeah, we had trouble matching up with the post players. We knew the Rockets girl was going to get her points. She's obviously a quality player, but their post players, we couldn't match up with their size. They killed us on the boards, and we missed quite a few inside shots. When we get the ball inside once in a while, we got to put it away, and we didn't do that down there. And then kind of snowballed on us.
It's hard to do with those because, you say, they've got a good inside game. But I tell you, the other night in the Hillsborough game, and of course, it's no secret what she is in the South Central Conference, but this little gal from Hillsborough, Shelby Gray, she had 37 against Carlisle, and she's a handful.
Yes, she is. She led us up for 28 last year at Litchfield, and she's a tremendous player and a really, really nice young lady as well. I had a chance to meet her. She's a matchup problem for us. I'm not really sure. We were talking about last night who we want to put on her. It's going to be a tremendous matchup tonight. Because she plays both ends of the floor, she gets her shots off, and then she's unselfish. I mean, she sets those other kids up too. So, you know, she's a handful.
She's one of those players that now you see me, now you don't, because she moves like a bug out there. She's everywhere.
Yeah, and I know I was talking to some people who know her. I know she got a little frustrated with some of her performances, and like against the Greenville game, and I guess she went out and shot after the game, goes out in the barn and shoots. I mean, she just loves it. She lives for it, and a lot of respect for her.
Rob, I know as a coach you don't really get caught up in seedings of in-season tournaments, but for you guys to get the one seed in this Carlinville Holiday Tournament, that's an accomplishment for your club because that girls' tournament is loaded.
Yeah. I'll tell you, a team that kind of scares me a little bit is Bunker Hill. I know Tim over there does a really nice job, and you don't see that 1-3-1 very much. You know, in Carlinville, yeah, they've got a few losses, but they're all very close games, you know, and Darren will have those kids ready to play. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, we can't wait to see you over there, Rob. And, hey, good luck tonight against those arch rivals from Hillsborough.
All right. Thanks for calling, guys.
Rob Corso, the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers in his first year.
And, a tremendous matchup and a good crowd. And the crowd will be very excitable tonight. So it always makes it fun for the broadcasters when they're there. So,
and Terry, you and I have done several of these games, and whether you're sitting there doing the game in Hillsborough or Litchfield, you can't really judge that by the fans because you can bet your boots Hillsborough has some fans there tonight.
Oh, yeah. You know, there'll be a good crowd there tonight. And hopefully everybody will enjoy themselves They generally don't disappoint us when these two teams get together.
The broadcast will begin at 7:30 tonight, also streaming at WSMIRadio.com. And guys, there was a great crowd last night at Staunton as the Bulldogs hosted the Paina Panthers in a South Central matchup, and it turned out to be a great game. Paina gets the win by a single point, 45-44, but it was really back and forth the whole way. And then Paina had a huge block late, and then Dylan Hudlin stepped up and made a couple of clutch free throws to seal the deal. He got a hometown bounce on the 1-1, up by two, hit high off the rim and came through.
And it was interesting, Tim, because I heard part of your interview with Coach Steve Moore, and Steve says, you know, we played pretty well.
It did.
Paina just beat us. And you know, that's pretty much what we thought the game was going to be last night. A great matchup between two teams that are very good in the South Central Conference.
I thought Payne's defense really kept them in it, especially in that first quarter. Staunton almost shut the Panthers out in the first quarter. They had a zero on the board 7 minutes into the ballgame, but the Payne defense only allowed four Staunton points, and then Payne hit a little five-point spurt at the end of the quarter. It actually led 5-4 after one when they didn't score for 7 minutes.
Hmm.
That's one of them pitcher's duels we talk about.
It was.
Good for the ERA,
it,
huh?
You know, it's one of those games, Sarah, sometimes you get them where it's just kind of a game of runs. You know, Staunton started off on a run. Payne came back. Then the first couple minutes of the second quarter belonged to Staunton. They surged in front, and back came Payne. They just kind of went back and forth. And unfortunately for Staunton, they literally just ran out of time as they were down four, hit a three late. But Steve Moore, who in our interview after the game wasn't happy with himself, he says, I'm known for hoarding my timeouts. Yes. But he had used them throughout the second half there, so he had no timeouts. And when the ball went through, there was 4 seconds left. So very wisely, Pena had no reason to inbound the ball. And
with less than 5 seconds, you don't even have to touch the ball because you have 5 seconds to inbound it after it comes through the basket, and you just let the clock run out.
It got me thinking that maybe the IHSA should consider a rule change in that instance to where, like in the NBA in college, where you get the final minute of what would be each quarter, the clock will stop when it's under a minute on a made bucket like it does. And I think that that would be an interesting idea, although I see the other side to why it won't happen at the high school level.
Well, number one, the fact of the matter is you've got people who are volunteering to help run the scoreboard and the clock, and they do a great job. They understand the ramifications of running the clock, but it's just easier to remember that the clock stops when you hear the whistle, and it starts when the official brings his arm down.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about stopping the clock, starting the clock. I think it's just part of the ball game. And to me, and I've used this argument for Major League Baseball, especially when it comes to instant replay. You know, why is it a home run, fair or foul, home run ball more reviewable than a diving catch, shoestring catch in the first inning? It should be, you know, if it's important, if it's an important play, it should be reviewable. In this case, with the clock, why should you stop the clock in the last minute and not in the first minute?
Same reason you won't call a ticky-tack foul in the last minute that you might call in the first minute.
Well, I agree with that. But still, the principle, the rule, you know, if it's that important in the end, it should be that important at the beginning. And to me, I just think I've said this a lot. The game doesn't need to be messed with. It's okay.
That's true. There's two. If I could change two things about high school basketball, and then it would be one to college, is that you would have the opportunity at a timeout to move the ball to half court and then stop the clock in the last minute on a made bucket. Because to me, those are the most exciting moments of a close ball game. The last, you know, when the last minute of a game, if you can get multiple possessions by having the clock stop, moving the ball to half court, I just like the idea from a pure entertainment value. Right. And that's what we're talking about, entertainment value. If the clock stopped last night, Payne probably still wins the game.
Yeah.
But Staunton would have had a chance. Maybe they steal the inbounds pass and get a layup right at the buzzer. There's lots of things that could really transpire in the last minute of these games if you stop the clock.
Right.
And then moving the ball to half court, that's never going to happen.
No,
that's really just an NBA thing. But I think that would be a neat thing.
My one change, continuation on a shot.
Yeah, I like that too.
I think that should be part of the high school game. You know, I don't like the fact the kid makes a great play, is fouled on the floor at the free throw line, and makes a great play to get to the basket all in one motion, you know, one continuous play, and makes a basket, and the basket's taken away. I think there should be a continuation-type call similar to college and the professionals in basketball.
Speaking of calls, last night I saw the jump stop called as a travel.
How about that?
How about that?
And that's correct.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was talking to Dan Smith and Jeremy Smith and Carl Ray Fesser last week, and I asked Carl Ray, I'm like, Carl, when did this rule get changed? He's like, we never got changed. He's like, refs just stopped calling it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. It was just kind of a slow progression to where we are today.
And every once in a while, you'll see a kid with his feet on the line. He'll get the ball and take a step back behind the three-point arc and shoot the ball. That's traveling.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't get called.
A lot of
you got to get that leeway of the extra half step these days.
I see that happening more in girls' basketball than boys.
Oh, yes. Oh, If it's called in girls, Terry, it's kind of a shock because they just don't call that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you know, as far as rule changes, my one rule change would be the continuation in for a kid going in for a shot. You know, to count that basket, give him the plus one.
Now, having said that, I will back up and say in the Carlisle Hillsborough game the other night, they did call it a couple times.
Did they?
And the fans is like going, what was that?
Well, that's just that it's gotten to the point when it is called, everyone is surprised and shocked because it just doesn't get called
anymore. Well, and you know, and officials have a tough enough time to call.
Oh.
When you got 10 kids moving at the speeds that the game of basketball moves at, both boys and girls right now, it's tough to keep track of, you know, 10 sets of arms and legs and bodies flying. And you know, you want to keep the game going.
Right.
You can't call everything, for God's sakes. You can't do it because you'd never get through a game.
Well,
so you got to kind of let, you know, did somebody gain an advantage? And if they did, well, okay, we'll blow the whistle.
I reminded a guy yesterday morning in the coffee shop. He was talking about you know, things called and things not called in girls' basketball. And I said, well, how long have you been watching girls' basketball? Well, a good while. I said, do you sit there in the bleachers and realize how much more aggressive girls have got in the last 5 years than they used to be? So there's more fouls out there.
Sure, sure. The game of basketball is ugly. It's not kind of Hoosier-esque. Even in that movie, though, it was pretty ugly basketball because it was very physical basketball. It's not the, you know, the flying Boston Celtics, you know, with three passes down the floor and the layup, and it's not that. Everybody plays defense now. You know, it's a grinded out kind of
half
style.
Court.
It's a half court game.
Kind of Big Ten style basketball.
Yes.
And I think from the girls' basketball perspective, the greatest compliment that I can give a girls' basketball team is they play like boys.
They play like boys.
Yeah. To me, that's a compliment.
More like boys every year.
And you know what? And it started on the defensive side of things.
Absolutely.
And that's where that's the biggest sign of improvement you see in girls' basketball. And now the offenses are coming along as well. So, yeah, the game has changed dramatically.
Go watch a Gillespie girls game and tell me you don't walk out of that gym just impressed with the tenacity at which they play for the full four quarters.
Oh, yeah.
The other night, the Carlisle team really impressed me. Rockers, bad first half. She only had like 4 points in the first half. And I'm thinking, okay, everyone has a bad game. That's fine. I look up at the scoreboard towards the end, and I'm like, when the heck did she get 20 points? It was just like she was like silent but deadly.
She had a lot of free throws in those last four or 5 minutes. A lot of free
throws. And earlier this week, I had Southwestern at Pena girls basketball. What a terrific matchup that was between two outstanding teams. You know, Southwestern, the game was tied at 41 with about 4.5 minutes to go in the ball game, and then really three kind of lazy passes ended up being baskets for Pena, and then the Panthers outscored Southwestern 19-2 down the stretch in that last 4.5. But, you know, they just kind of run out of gas there at the end. But I'm telling you, watch out for Southwestern. Wow.
Terry, maybe there's never been a better example of a game to where you cannot just look at the box score. Right. You look at the box score in the paper the next morning and think, oh, man, Southwestern got waxed at Pena.
They
did not at all.
They did not get waxed at all. And that Southwestern program is alive and well. And as they had three freshmen on the floor at that time. You know, as these freshmen get a little bit older and a little bit stronger and more acclimated to the varsity game, they are going to be a ton.
Well, we said it last year, probably on this very show. If you want to get the birds, you better do it now.
Yeah, that's
right. That was last year.
Yeah, you ain't going to get them now.
No, they're back now.
That's right. You know, wherever Southwestern goes, they're going to be a handful in whatever tournament they play, whatever conference game they play, even a non-conference, they're going to be a handful.
And, Terry, this past week, talking about young ladies and the freshman at Piceau and stuff, you had an opportunity to do a Mount Olive Bombers game when they brought home the state trophy. And,
yes, they did. Thursday night, the Bombers won the 2A 8th grade girls state basketball tournament with a 3-point win over Holy Trinity out of Bloomington, a team that they beat in the quarterfinals as 7th graders last year. So there was a little, a little history between the two teams, but it was defense that won that ball game. They, you know, Madov just ground down Holy Trinity, and they were in their face the whole night. And, you mentioned Gillespie girls, Mount Olive girls. These gals did the same thing against Holy Trinity in that championship game. And great crowd, and congratulations to the Bombers. They were the state champions, finished the year 27-1. Lost to T-Town, who was the 3A champion.
And before anybody gets mad at us, we extended our invitation.
Yeah.
But
They had other
right.
other obligations. So and you know, maybe an opportunity down the line, we'll get together with them and we'll see what we can do. So.
Absolutely.
And what a shocker, T-Town won.
Huh. Yeah.
That's weird.
And the team that won the 4A championship was the only other team besides Mount Olive to beat Holy Trinity. Normal Kingsley, who beat Southwestern in the 8th grade tournament last year. So these girls are actually 7th graders.
And joining us on the phone right now is a man who knows a little bit about having an 8th grade team at the state level. Steve Woolley joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Lady Piasaw Birds. And, Coach, we were just talking about the Mount Olive Bombers and their 8th grade championship. And you know what that's all about? And that can really just build up all sorts of confidence in incoming freshmen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. First off, I mean, congratulations to Coach Kernich and all those girls. I mean, we played them this year a couple times and definitely had a solid group of kids, good athletes, and they got a bright future over there.
Well, you've got a group of freshmen that certainly has a bright future in your program, and you guys are off to a fabulous start. Just talk a little bit about your season thus far, if you would.
Well, it's been, I didn't really know coming in. We had so many question marks because of coming off kind of a very mediocre season for us last year, a little subpar for me, really, and had some this infusion of these freshmen, and you never really know how they're going to adapt to the varsity level. So, I mean, a lot of question marks coming in, but so far I've been just, tickled to death with the way we're playing.
Steve, in the game against Pena the other night, it was just a situation of, for most of the ball game, absolutely no fear on behalf of the Birds going up against a very quality Pena team.
Yeah, definitely. We had early part of our schedule. Obviously, we didn't have as many teams on our schedule early, like a Pena or a Litchfield or somebody like that. So, coming into that game, I had a little bit of concern about, how would we react, and I thought the first quarter was going to be, pretty important for us to get off to a good start, especially on the road and having these young kids and stuff. But, we kind of weathered that first quarter. I think we were down 3 or something like that. And I actually felt pretty good because I thought, like I said, if we could get through that and, get off to a decent start, our kids' confidence level would be pretty high. So, for the most part in that game, I think I mentioned this in the paper the other day, but I got 28, 29 minutes. I was just really pleased. But, really, really the last 3 minutes, little uncharacteristic for these kids. I think they have better composure than that. And I made a couple coaching errors myself that I can definitely improve on too.
Well, and one other thing, Coach, just as an observer of the ball game, I think as freshmen, a lot of times, the fatigue factor sets in. The game is a little bit quicker, a little bit more physical than the 8th grade team. And here you have a quality team, and perhaps there was just a little bit of being fatigued.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a part of it, too. I probably could have used my bench a little bit more. Those were some of the coaching things I'm talking about. We kind of got into a groove there. We're playing real well with a group of kids there, and you just don't know when to, swap. But definitely, they did wear us down physically. I mean, they had some older kids, and in general were more physical to begin with. But, that experience factor and the physicalness that they bring to the floor, I mean, definitely showed up a little bit late in the game. So,
it may have been a loss in the scorebook, but it certainly is a type of game that pays dividends on down the line.
Oh, definitely. I mean, our kids grew a lot, and then I think that showed when we turned around and played Litchfield the other night. So, I mean, I think, like you say, just those experiences alone, make you grow a little bit. And our kids were determined to come back and play sharp against Litchfield, and I thought we did that the other night and got a pretty decent win, I think.
Well, Steve, I know that your freshman class is getting a lot of run, rightfully so, but I know you've got some important senior leadership as well.
Yeah, Jamie Geisler has been she was my 6th player as a sophomore, and then last year a starter, and then a returning starter again this year. So she brings some experience with her as a senior. And then Elena Ducharme is kind of like our energizer bunny. I mean, at practice, it's 110 all the time. And she brings a lot of quickness on the defensive end of the floor. She's a kid that just started playing basketball as a freshman. So, the basketball IQ is still building. But, man, does she bring a lot of energy for our team. I mean, great practice player and somebody that you can insert into the lineup when you need more quickness and defensive pressure. And just pleased that those two are two great kids, great work ethic, and they bring that to the table for us.
And they talk a lot on the floor. I mean, they communicate on the floor.
Yes, yeah. I mean, they realize that this freshman class of kids brings some talent with them, and you know, as an upperclassman, I think they're just trying to instill that, like I say, the work ethic and practice, and make sure that the kids are going hard all the time, and they are vocal about it. So, just super pleased with the way they're leading us.
Well, see, that's the beauty of your program, though. I mean, this is nothing new to where you've got a good group of seniors and a good group of freshmen, and the seniors kind of teaching the freshmen the pious Allbirds way. This is just kind of what you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's worked for us. I mean, we've been able to kind of string together some good seasons and stuff. And like I said, it all starts from having good kids. I mean, they're good in the classroom. They're conscientious. They pay attention to detail. They want to do well, and that means a whole lot right there.
Coach, one thing we can all agree on is we look at girls basketball in the South Central Conference. It's certainly alive and well. You got a lot of quality girls teams in that conference.
Yeah, I've been at it a little while and kind of got to see all this grow, you know, and definitely the influx of, you know, quality coaches coming in, people who have, you know, some of them have coached on the boys' side for years and switch over to the girls. And, I mean, there's a lot of experience, I think, in the coaching ranks. And then, just seeing the programs develop fundamentally, I think like I said, there's not really a night off anymore. I think, you know, you have to be ready to play every night you take the floor. And that's nice because I don't think anybody that has a good team wants to, you know, go waste a night somewhere and coast. You know, it's not really doing your team much good. So I've been happy with the way that the conference has developed as a whole.
And Steve, where will you guys be going for the holidays?
We're over at Jerseyville. There's an eight-team, two-pool tournament over there. We're over there with Hillsboro, and Hillsboro actually drew the other pool. So we start off with Calhoun, who we played earlier in the year, and they've got a lot of experience coming back from last year, as well as some really nice athletes. And second game is against Civic Memorial, whose program has been taken off here last, you know, 3 or 4 years. And then we got Jerseyville, the home school. So that's our pool, and then we'll cross over and play whoever. So looking forward to that. A lot of different teams there.
And it's always nice to kind of get out of your normal, I guess, comfort zone, for lack of a better term, and face some competition that you know you won't see in the regular season.
Oh, definitely. Just different styles. And like you say, you don't have to really necessarily worry about seeing them later in the year and preparing and all that stuff. So it's just nice to go out, relax, play some teams, enjoy it. I'll enjoy the time off, actually, when I'm during the holidays. So anyway, no, it's a good time of the year. I always enjoy it.
Steve, all I can say is the birds are back.
Yeah, they go away?
Yeah, they never really went away. But
so. We still got a lot of growing to do, but I'm really pleased with where we're at, and hope to get better as the year goes on.
Oh, you will, definitely.
Steve Woolley, thanks for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to seeing you down the road.
Okay, thanks. You guys have a great day. Bye-bye.
Steve Woolley, the head coach of the Southwestern Lady Pious Allbirds. A little too modest.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Had some good years.
He's had some outstanding years.
Yeah.
And
but I thought he said it all, though, when he said it very succinctly. Last year was a mediocre season,
right,
by my standards.
By my standards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's the bar that they've set, mm-hmm, and that's why they continue to reach that bar.
And you look at the South Central Conference, and there's a lot of teams that have standards like that.
That's right.
You know, and we've heard coaches before say, we're trying to model ourselves after Southwestern, you mm-hmm know, and the success they've had, and the Painters, and the success they've had, you know. And now we're seeing teams able to do that, you know, Hillsboro's, the Litchfields, you know. I think a lot of these teams in the South Central Conference are saying, okay, it starts at the low level. It starts at the junior high level. You keep that group of girls together. You bring them up through the ranks, and, you know, you teach them to play great defense, and they stay together, and then you have success.
We talked about it before, the difference between having a team and having a program.
Program.
Southwestern and Pena have programs,
right,
to where you've got, like we said, the seniors teaching the freshmen. Yeah. 4 years from now, the girls that are freshmen will be teaching the new freshmen, and on it will go.
It just keeps going. It's just a never-ending cycle. And as Steve, you know, he's been around long enough to see how the South Central Conference has grown as far as girls' basketball.
Oh, he was there at the beginning.
He was there from the very beginning of this thing. And we have seen huge strides. And again, the Route 16 effect, you take a swipe across the state and you go just a few miles either way. Man, it's a hotbed of girls basketball.
And it's going to be just a matter of time before he is a Hall of Fame coach.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing about Southwestern a lot of time, and when we talk postseason tournament, a lot of time it's the draw. Yeah. I mean, so much has to do with the draw that you get in the regionals and the sectional route you get. And, you know, Southwestern's just really had some brutal draws in the past. They really, really have. So, you know, one of these days, and I tell you what, this group of freshmen, when you've got three freshmen out there on the floor, very impressive, very impressive. And a gal who you're going to hear a lot about is Maddie Greeling, for one. She's the ball handler. She's the point guard.
Well, and you heard Rob Corso, we were talking about the Carnival Holiday Tournament, mention a team that scares him is Bunker Hill with that 1-3-1. And maybe if everything works out, maybe we can get a Southwestern Bunker Hill Macoupin County championship game in the middle of January. Wouldn't that be a whole lot of fun?
That would be wild and woolly. And we had Bunker Hill North Mac on the radio Monday night, Tim. You had a chance to do that ball game because we knew that would be a terrific matchup.
We was talking the other night at the Hillsborough Carlisle game, and I was talking to a guy, and he said, "Well, I never heard much out of Carlisle." And I said, "Well, you know, we always talk about on Saturday morning sports." The area we're in is a hotbed of basketball girls, our boys. But I said, Carlisle is in a hotbed. I said, you look down there where they play at. Yeah, both Breezes, Breeze Modern Day, Breeze Central, Nashville.
Well, the Madison County area is.
And that's
Hillsborough Carlisle getting a lot of run on the sports show this morning. You think it was Duke Carolina?
Yeah.
but it's true. I mean, when you look at Carlisle and what they've done, I think they're 9-2 now. Pretty impressive coming out of the area they come out of.
Yeah.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back in just a moment.
A sure sign of the holidays is the aroma of homemade pies, cookies, and desserts baking. You'll need plenty of fresh farmer-owned Prairie Farms butter for pie crusts and cookies. For dunking those cookies, serve tall, refreshing glasses of Prairie Farms milk. For creamy, smooth puddings, use half and half. Serve the spirit of the season, wholesome Prairie Farms eggnog. Top your fresh pies and desserts with Prairie Farms whipped cream. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
Listen for high school basketball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, brought to you by Brian's Auto and 23-Hour Towing in Litchfield, UJ's Corner Convenience Stores in Litchfield and Nokomis, Morton Buildings in Litchfield, Sloan Implement, your John Deere dealer in Carlinville, Verdon, Vandalia, Litchfield, and Hamel, and by Litchfield Community Savings at State and Union in Litchfield. And for the broadcast and online broadcast schedule, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
10 million people have been killed or injured by drunk driving or not wearing a seatbelt over the past 15 years. That's enough to wipe out most of Illinois. Fatalities are on the rise here at home. So is Illinois law enforcement, cracking down on drunk and unbuckled drivers. Because these statistics are people's lives. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
And at 9:47, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. It will be windy. Expect a high in the upper 50s. Partly cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. We'll have a low of around 40 degrees. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies yet again. Expect a high of around 55 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. It will be a little bit colder. Expect highs in the mid-40s. The lows will be around 30. At 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 49 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
This is Jake Fleming with Security National Bank, and I have some great news for you. Security National Bank is now offering free mobile banking on your cell phone. Now you can check your account anywhere you can use your phone. It's secure, free, and gives you the peace of mind and knowing your finances wherever you go. To download our new cell phone app, just go to the App Store and search for Security National Bank. Here at Security National Bank, we take pride in being big enough to serve you and small enough to know you. FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:49, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tubbinot, thank you very much. Welcome back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. A good girls matchup tonight. Hillsboro travels to Litchfield live 7:30 here on FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com, and then the
Sunday.
Illini tomorrow.
Yeah, against Eastern Kentucky. That's a 4:30 in the afternoon, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock tip Sunday on FM 106. John Gross Show Monday night at 7. Next Tuesday night, Nokomis at Hillsboro boys basketball, and next Friday night, Nokomis at Litchfield boys basketball.
And then a week from today, yeah. Bragging rights on the line. Illinois and Mizzou.
That means Christmas is close.
That's right. And we were talking off the air. It's an earlier start, 4:30 pregame next Saturday for the Illini and Mizzou. So that means a 5 o'clock tip. And we were saying next year, that'll be back to a primetime 7, 8 o'clock game on ESPN. Because let's be honest, under Bruce Weber the last few years, the Illini, in terms of television, were unwatchable. You know, like the TV network executives thinking, we're wasting a primetime slot on this? They've got 20 points 30 minutes into the game. But with John Gross, it's a new era, if you will. So, Mark, I bet you next year, that's a 7 o'clock tip.
That'll be the third sellout at Scott Trade this year. It's been a kind of empty building this year.
They're going to have to dust the cobwebs off.
Well, what's that game that they're not playing down there?
Frozen soccer. They'll be back.
By the time they get back, no one will care. Oh, wait, no one cares now. That's right.
I think they've done shot most of their toes off for this year.
Yeah, they've run out of appendages.
Hey, they've got a pinky toe left.
Yeah.
Oh,
I still
man.
Have hope.
The poor pinky toe. Oh. Hockey's a joke, an absolute joke.
Well, you know,
you can't lose multiple seasons in less than, what, a six-year period and expect to be viable. Why would you go spend your money on the National Hockey League when this is how they treat you? Why would you do it?
For what it costs.
I still think a lot of the problems with the NHL is the commissioner, Gary Bettman. This guy is...
Bingo.
I think this guy's a nutcase. I'll be honest with you. He's just, you know...
But you know what? Here's the problem with professional sports commissioners today. They work for the owners.
Well, yes, they do.
And the owners like Gary Bettman because he's making them money and saving them money. You know, he's the reason this is all happening is because the owners want to make more money. So that's the commissioner's job. He's a terrible commissioner, but that's what he's doing.
But the problem is he really that good of a commissioner? Because the TV contract is virtually
not
the contract they had is very, very small.
Oh, I think he's a terrible commissioner.
You know, and from that standpoint, I don't think hockey has gotten the exposure it probably deserved as far as a major sport is concerned. As much as maligned as Bud Selig is on this show, and we give Bud all sorts of crap.
Rude.
And you know, he has been good for baseball. He is hired by the owners, but he's also fought with the owners about things that were needed in Major League Baseball and has been very successful.
Judging professional sports commissioners is very simple and very easy. Is the league better than it was when they took over? The answer with baseball is yes.
Tremendously.
The answer with the NBA and Stern is yes. Yeah. The answer with the NFL and Goodell is wishy-washy at best, headed towards no, and the NHL with Bettman is definitely no.
Definitely no.
And getting back to Mr. Selig and Major League Baseball, can you guys in your wildest dreams imagine the money these owners are throwing around at some of these athletes?
No.
It blows my
with
mind.
With so much money in the game of baseball, could someone please get Bud Selig a comb. The man is so disheveled. Why is he so... His shirt's untucked. His hair's all over the place. What is going on? Does he have no mirror?
Don't hold back.
What has happened to Bud Selig?
Don't hold back, man.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Am I wrong? I mean, the dude makes, what, like $25 million a year. Get a comb.
Or put a hat on.
Or put a hat on, yes. Yes.
I'm wondering.
Or a sack over your head.
Something.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, the contracts that are now coming out of Major League Baseball, Josh Hamilton now with the Angels, just shipped the trophy over to Anaheim. My word, that's a pitching.
How about pitching?
Didn't they say that last offseason, too?
What about pitching?
That's remember their Achilles heel.
Remember, Tobin, you still lose if you're outscored 14-13.
That's true.
Yeah. It's all about the pitching. And the power arms anymore.
That's exactly right. And that's why the Angels, if I had to pay money to go watch a team hit, it would definitely be the Angels. I mean, my goodness, yeah. Trout, Albert, Hamilton, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But if you're talking about winning the World Series in terms of the LA teams, I'll take the Dodgers because of the pitching.
Yeah.
Kershaw, and I'm not the biggest Greinke fan, but he is good. And you put Kershaw and Greinke at the top of that rotation, that's a lot of wins.
My initial point, I'm wondering if these contracts that are now starting to come out are going to bite the owners in the end. Because that's what kind of happened with the NHL, if you want the truth be told.
Well, there's a big difference.
Let's back up here.
Big difference.
First, you're talking Major League Baseball, which is a major sports entity, and then you're talking the NHL. Right. They're both fruit, but one's apples and one's oranges.
The reason Major League Baseball can pass out these contracts is because of the huge TV contracts
that they have.
The NHL does not have huge TV contracts. No. Major League Baseball does. That's why the Angels can spend like drunken sailors, because it's like a $1 billion TV contract or something absurd they got coming up.
And to put that in perspective, guys, about hockey is not a conducive game to watch on TV.
Where's the puck?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't find it.
Even a high def, it's still pretty difficult.
It's a tough game to watch on TV, where baseball is ideal.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game.
But hockey is more fun to watch live than it is on TV.
I agree with that. Hockey is the best sport to watch live. Too bad they're not playing it.
Yeah. But
yeah, you and me both. I've been a season ticket holder for 10 years, Mize.
Baseball is alive and well, and I hope that goose keeps laying them golden egg, guys, because man, oh man, are they spending
No matter
money.
What you say, though, TV revenues are up.
That's right.
TV ratings are up.
Sure they are.
And that's where the money comes from. Attendance. That's what keeps the league alive and keeps the best players
in
the league.
People keep saying shoveling dirt onto baseball like it's dead. As far as I can tell, it's alive and well. It's better than it's ever been.
Attendance is up. And even look at our buddies to the north, the Cubs, you know. They can't win nothing, but, buddy, they got 35,000 people in that ballpark.
Well, they haven't the last couple of years, but they're getting it back.
And it's going to be pretty darn soon here. They're going to be turning the corner here. Well, they've unloaded a lot of bad baseball players.
And Theo Epstein, he's
a smart guy, and he knows what he's doing, and it's just a matter of time. Patience is a difficult thing when it comes to sports. But it's going to happen in Chicago.
The Cubs' record this year obviously was a disaster in Theo's first year, but I would argue that he did a great job this year.
He did what needed to be done.
Yeah. The only bad contract they got left is Soriano.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I still say with all of their problems and woes, if you give me my choice to watch a ball game, I'll go to Wrigley Field.
It's a cool yard.
Never been there.
It's a very cool yard.
Look at the trade Tampa Bay and the Kansas City made. My word. That was out of the blue.
Yeah, but that's the life of Tampa Bay. You can't afford to pay the players, so you got to hopefully make the good deal.
What they got back in return.
Of course, Jake Odorizzi, local product, on his way to Tampa.
Now, a couple of things the Cardinals did this week. Schumacher gets traded to the Dodgers, Skip Schumacher, and that puts him back in his home area. And the Cardinals side Ty Wigington to a 2-year contract, which should help out with some versatility.
The thing they've been missing really the last couple of years is that power right-handed bat off the bench. That's what Ty Wigington is. That's why they got him. He'll get a spot start here, a spot start there, come in and a double switch, but make no mistake, they got him to pinch hit in the eighth inning or the ninth inning. Right. That's where they got Ty Wigington.
And you get back to what you said a while ago, the name of the game is pitching, and look last year at the World Series. The Giants went in there, and their pitching was good.
And that's the thing, all this talk about the Angels getting Hamilton, the Dodgers with all the bats they acquired. The Giants are still the team to beat. They've won two of the last World Series, not because of their offense, because of that elite starting pitching.
Yes. You look at the last three World Series champions. It was all about good pitching that shuts down terrific hitting.
Yes, and the Yankees have proven this really the last several years. You can have the best offense in the world, and that'll work in the regular season. You can score 8 runs on, you know, on the Royals of the world, on the Mariners of the world, against the 4 starters, the 5 starters. That's all fine and good. Pile up your regular season wins. But when you get to the playoffs and you've got the elite teams and the elite pitchers, you know, the teams like the Reds, the teams like the Yankees, built for the regular season, that's fine and good.
Yeah.
That's fine and good. But when push comes to shove, when the chips are in the middle of the table.
When you're facing the top 3 starters, right, and sometimes the top 2 starters in the rotation,
yeah,
in a short series, you've got to be able to, you know, battle against them, and teams like the Yankees don't.
And every year, it seems, going into the playoffs, people always try to make you believe, oh, no, this is the year that the offense is going to win the World Series. I haven't seen it.
No.
Haven't seen it.
Pitching.
Give me the pitching. That's why I like the Dodgers.
That's why the pitchers make lots of money. If you're good, you make lots of money.
That's why Zach Greinke got $140-whatever million dollars it was.
Can you imagine?
Not because he can bunt.
That's right. Or he can run the bases fast.
Real quickly,
because he can pitch.
This weekend's pretty big for the Rams.
Yeah.
Keep their playoff hope.
When's the last time the Rams were in the playoff discussion in December?
Yeah.
Long time ago. Well, if the Mayans were right, this was our last show.
Nice.
Just to throw that out.
Yeah. I like your attitude, though, Tim, because on a week from today, a lot of people are going to be out there buying presents going, darn, we thought it was going to be over.
It's going to be the most interesting day ever next Saturday. We're out of time. Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.